Welcome to Season 5 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. The Bible has a lot to say about thinking. Thoughts are spiritual events, and they set the direction and determine the destiny of your life. So put on your thinking cap, because this season of the Food for Your Soul podcast is all about thinking, logic, discernment, and being transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Before we finish talking about the definition of discernment, let's talk about what discernment is not. Three common errors that people mistake for discernment, counterfeit discernment. Number one, discernment is not mysticism. Some people, especially in the charismatic movement, have turned discernment into one of the miraculous spiritual gifts, one of the supernatural spiritual gifts. And they'll say, discernment is a mystical feeling that you just get inside you about somebody. It's subjective, and you just have this sense that they've got this sin, or this sense that they've got, you know, one thing or another. Or you just sort of sense something is bad, some teaching is bad, and it's just a feeling, and it's a supernatural revelation from God inside your heart. It's the approach that basically, the way that you know if something is good or bad, the way that you discern if something is good or bad is through feelings and personal visions and private illumination, totally subjective means. Now, in the beginning of the 1900s, there was a movement that's known as Neo-Orthodoxy, and basically the point of Neo-Orthodoxy was to attack the inerrancy of Scripture, to say there are errors in Scripture. It's not inerrant. It has errors in it. That's Neo-Orthodoxy. And evangelicalism valiantly fought against Neo-Orthodoxy and stood up for the inerrancy of Scripture. And we defended it. But all the gains that we made in that battle are now being sacrificed on the altar of mysticism. Because even if you've got an inerrant Bible, if truth ultimately comes from your feelings rather than from Scripture, then what does it matter if Scripture is inerrant? Instead of attacking inerrancy directly by saying that there are mistakes in the Bible, what Satan has moved to now in the evangelical world is to change his tactic and say, okay, the Bible is inerrant. It doesn't have any mistakes in it. But you find truth and guidance not through the intended meaning of the words of Scripture alone, but through your inner feelings and impulses. And so he just makes inerrancy irrelevant. He couldn't succeed in convincing us that there are errors in the Bible, and so what he tried to do is just make that irrelevant by causing our interpretation of the Bible to become totally subjective and affected by our feelings. And the effect is the same. The effect is the same. So unfortunately, evangelicalism has not resisted that with the same vigor that it's resisting Neo-Orthodoxy. And you can see why Satan would love this particular error of mysticism. The more someone is convinced of mysticism, the less possible it is to reach that person with and convince them of anything. You can't convince them with the truth. You can't reach them with the truth because for them, truth is defined by how he feels. And how are you going to argue that? I mean, how are you going to argue against how he feels? And you can imagine what happens with people who fall into this. I mean, in the most extreme cases, they'll interpret their internal impulses as spiritual discernment. And the problem with that is because we have the flesh. And what are our impulses? We have all kinds of sinful impulses, right? And in many cases, instead of recognizing those sins and repenting from them, they see those as promptings from the Holy Spirit. And you get all kinds of problems. So what many people regard as the gift of discernment is really just simply sinful judging of motives that is forbidden in Scripture. We don't want to overdo the judge not command. But even though we don't want to overdo the judge not command and overapply that, still it does mean something. There is some judging that is forbidden. And it's always forbidden for us. We're never permitted to do it. And that is judging motives. You should judge theology. You should judge actions. You should judge all kinds of things. But never are we permitted to judge motives because we can't see motives. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. And at that time, each one will receive his praise from God. Don't try and judge motives before that because you can't see people's motives. You don't know what's inside somebody. We can and should judge actions. We can and should judge words. We can and should judge theologies and doctrines and ideas. And to the degree that we can accurately detect them, we should even judge people's attitudes, because that's something that you can see to a degree. But motives are always off limits. There are some things that are just only sinful if there's a sinful motive. If there's no sinful motive, then it's not a sin. And we should never look at that and say, that's sin, because I'm sure there's a sinful motive behind it. Now, there are some things, let me explain the categories of sin. There are two categories of sin. There are some sins that are just, there are some actions that are inherently sinful regardless of the motive, like committing adultery. No matter what your motive is for committing adultery, it's always sin, no matter what. So, if you're looking at something that's not inherently a sinful action, and assuming that it's sinful because you're assuming a sinful motive, then that's wrong. There are churches that have communion every single Sunday. And I've heard people say, they do that just because they're into ritualism. Well, you're assuming their motives. Maybe they do that because they love the Lord's table. People who are in churches like that look at churches that don't do it as often and say, they don't do it very often because they don't love the Lord's table. Well, they're judging motives. Maybe that's not the motive. Maybe they don't do it very often because they want to keep it something very special. So, anytime you look at something, I mean, if you see someone blaspheme God, you can just speak up and say, that is sin. You know, I mean, that's obvious. But if I see someone, if I wave to someone and he doesn't wave back, and I say, he didn't wave back because, you know, he thinks I'm a jerk or something, he's mad at me or whatever, and I assign some motive, then I've crossed over the line into sin. Anytime you say, he did that, she did that because, then you're assuming what their motivation is. If you can just say, she did that, that's a sin in and of itself, then that's fine. But if you say, she did that because of this motive, then that's wrong. And I really believe that this is one of the reasons why God tells us to confront people when you have a problem with them spiritually. If you think somebody's in sin, instead of gossiping about them, you confront that person. And here's one of the reasons. Because when you are assigning a bad motive to a person, when you go and confront that person, it's revealed that you're assuming a bad motive. And you're exposed, right? I mean, if I come up to you and I say, I need to rebuke you for a sin, you're doing this thing that's not sinful, but you're doing it for this reason. Well, as soon as I say that, it's obvious. And so, usually when we judge in this way, when we judge people's motives, we're very reluctant to confront the person about their sin, right? Because we know instinctively that our judging is wrong kind of judging. So that's a good clue. If you can't confront the person about his sin because you don't know for sure about their motive, then you may be assigning sinful motives. Maybe there's somebody that, you know, they're always first to pray out loud in a prayer circle. And you think it's because of pride. And so you may be tempted to gossip about it to someone else. You say, you know, so-and-so. He's the first one to pray every time because, he's really puffed up. He just thinks he's the greatest, you know. And you say that to your friend. And you say, oh, why don't you confront him on that sin? So you think about what it would be like to confront him on this sin. You know, I'm going to confront you because you always speak up first. And the reason you do it is... And now you're telling them their motive. And as soon as you say that, you realize, oh, I don't have any business assuming their motive. Maybe they have a good motive. Maybe they just love the Lord and they love to pray. Don't ever assume motives. I mean, assume motives. Assume good motives. 1 Corinthians 13:7. What does it say? Love always trusts. Always assumes the best. So, discernment is not... the ability to know someone's motives. That is not the gift of discernment. That's just simply sinful judgment.
Thank you for listening. We pray you're finding this season helpful. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Just go to the treasuringgod.com website and click on Contact. There's also a giving tab on that site. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.